It was the first holiday without father.
Oh, God.
And we felt
without
really...
father? Are they German orphans in the 1800s? I'm sorry, that just sounds odd.
And we felt really strange. It was a tossed salad of emotions. That's what sold me on this story. I said, whatever happens next.
Apparently that invokes in me maniacal laughter. I'm rubbing my hands together. That was so bad. Welcome to Hey You Know It. My name is Jaquetta Sotmar, and I'm here with my co-host,
Katie Kazmir. Hey You Know It is a podcast that tells you how it is or how it should be.
You can listen to Hey You Know It on iTunes, a new episode every Monday.
And here they are, Jaquetta and Katie.
So the long-awaited holiday survival guide is upon us. It's the holiday season.
And that's right.
Thanksgiving has kicked it off, and we're heading right into Kwanzaa, to Christmas, to Hanukkah, to solstices, to everything.
And if you're anything like us, you're in the throes of the holiday festivities.
And by throes, we mean booze. So, Katie, what do you want to kick off with?
I want to kick off with 10 tips to ensure your first Christmas together isn't your last.
Oh, wow. Really? They went there already in the title?
How much anxiety are you giving these, like, these new couples? Like, so you're new, you're dating each other a couple of months, and now you've gone solid with the relationship.
You're not married yet.
Yeah, you're exclusive with each other.
You're
or maybe
exclusive.
You are. Maybe you're married. Whatever.
Okay.
Oh, no. It says here, newlyweds.
Okay.
So, yeah, you're in there.
You made the commitment. There's no going back now. First holiday together.
Yeah, so you know how people always ask, if you could share just one piece of marriage advice to newly married couples, what would it be?
Fuck often. That's the whole thing right there. Sorry,
That's it.
That's it. That's my advice.
Yeah.
I would just say fuck often.
With your first Christmas when you get married, take control of the holidays or you'll feel like a Grinch stole your Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
The reason with many first Christmases, too many people have too many competing holidays for the newlyweds. They have too many competing expectations, rather.
Okay, of what they're
for
supposed
newlyweds.
To do.
Yeah, so you've got a newlywed couple in your family, and everyone's like, come to my house.
That didn't happen to us. I think I got fewer invitations. People are like, she's married now, I have to bother with that bitch. And invite her. All she does is come over here, bring the wine, and drink the wine.
Yeah.
It's like, you bought us 2 bottles of wine. No, I bought you 1 bottle of wine.
This one's for me.
You see, it's already open.
I got a wine bra.
I had some on the train.
It's filling up my wine bra with
that.
Okay, both sides of the families want to spend the optimum Christmas day time with a couple brothers, sisters. Everybody wants to be
there. Is there some rule that people want to get it over with during the day? That's why. Yeah. They don't want to waste their evening with you. So everyone's like, now we're having it at 2.
Yeah, come over at 2, stay for 3 hours and leave.
Yeah. By 5:15, we're shutting this piece down.
Yeah, so come December 26th, the new husband and wife can feel as deflated as Frosty the Snow.
Wow.
You know what? So sought after. Oh my God, you guys are so special.
Also, they should have sought after an editor for this piece.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it goes on. Here's some tips to keep your first holiday season merry and bright. Number one, decide on your holiday season festivities as soon as possible. Discuss what each of you would like to do, experience, or attend over the holiday season. Talk about old family traditions, what you want to keep, and new rituals you want to start.
Okay. That's interesting.
So
that's a lot of everything is all about planning now, isn't
it? Yeah.
There's no spontaneity. Nothing can happen. Like, I feel like for our traditional, or it became traditional, was going to Vegas. Mm-hmm. It just happened. Mm-hmm. You know, you do it when you it's like we planned out, you know, when we get married.
This is what we're going to do for the next 50
Vegas
years.
Forever.
Yeah.
And then you do something different.
Like, they say here, the example is, do you want to go in the woods and chop down a tree?
Huh?
No.
That sounds like an invitation to kill someone.
Yeah.
if you ever invite me out to the woods, I know that you're trying to kill me.
Go chop a tree.
Yeah.
Quitter.
You just show up with a shiny axe.
You're like, you know that's the last place I want
to
be.
You show up with a gun and you're like, let me take you out to the woods to chop a tree. That's how I feel. You know, that's what happens. Okay. So do you want to go to the woods and chop a tree?
Or do you want to go to pick up a live tree at the local store?
Mm-hmm.
Tree store.
As a New Yorker, I'm like, I'll just go online and order the tree. It's probably like tree.com.
Or get a fake tree. No.
No.
No, I go to the lot. And you pick out the tree. I pick out my tree.
In Hoboken?
Yeah, and then I have it delivered.
Yeah, there's usually a tree stand close enough to our apartment to, like, bring it in.
Yeah.
And we usually get a kind of a small tree. But the reason why I'm against the disposable trees, first of all, second of all, where am I going to put that?
disposable.
One, I mean, not the disposable, the reusable. That's like one more thing that I have to put in the closet all year I'm not going to be using.
Yeah, there's no reason to have a reusable tree in this city.
I think in New York is the kind of place where if you could hire someone to bring the tree, decorate the tree, take the tree down and get the fuck out of your house, that's a good service right there.
Yeah, too. Oh, right?
Like, not even, they bring the ornaments, they bring everything, you just rent the whole thing.
This is my new business.
Maybe they also serve a little hot chocolate.
Yeah.
Well, they do it, and they hum a little bit, and then they leave. Then they come up after the holidays, they take everything away.
Yep.
Boom. It's a great idea.
I'll come put it up and take it down.
Yeah.
That's going to be my slogan.
That's gonna be, I put it up, I take it down. Katie Casimere Trees. Casimere Trees.
I do want to say, though, side note, when you go to the tree stand place.
Haggle.
Get your dogs. Keep your dogs out of there.
What are you talking about?
People bring their pets.
And they pee on the tree.
Yes.
I would, if I were a dog, I'd be like, this is Christmas.
This is Christmas.
Like, this is it. This is what they were talking about. I can't believe it. Everyone else has been here. Take a sniff. Yeah, Ralph was here.
Taking home everybody's dog.
Yeah, and then your dog is like, I got to do something about this. I know I'm going to get in trouble, but come on.
Okay, number two, protect your us time.
Uh-huh.
Pull out a December calendar and mark the dates and times of firm activities, such as the work holiday party.
Mm-hmm.
Reserve time for other activities, such as visiting relatives and friends. In the midst of all the festivities... Be sure to reserve dates just for the two of you.
Yeah. Oh, God.
You know what? Guess what? This is your sweet time where you want to be together. As time goes on, you're going to be like, I got to work things.
I would say this is, it's your first Christmas. Just spend it together.
Yeah.
You probably need a break at that point. From everyone else.
And number three, make a Christmas budget. No, don't.
No, don't. Just
spend whatever.
Yeah, just do whatever. I mean, everyone overspends in the holidays. We don't overspend. It's not America.
Yeah.
In January, everybody is skint.
Yeah.
I got nothing. It's like in January. I don't even need to carry a wallet in January because there's nothing in it.
Be American, would you?
Yeah, just spend and worry about it later. You know who worries about spending money? Canadians.
Yeah.
Is that what we want to be like? We want to be sensible with decent healthcare and sound tax policies? No.
And courteous and polite to each other? Do we want that?
And good comedy? No, we don't want that.
Barely any shootings?
Yes, barely. No tramplings.
Right.
You know?
Do we want that?
Do we want that? No.
Number
Rail four. Service that's reliable. We don't want any of that. Water. Okay.
Number four, prepare for someone's feelings to get hurt.
Oh, my God. Katie, get ready.
Now you know.
Because I'm about to say some shit. Because it's the holidays.
Because that's probably the Festivus.
Yes.
Or the airing of the grievances.
Hey, save it. I got some Festivus coming up.
All right. Now that you know what you need and want to do over the holidays, you need to tell those closest to you that what your plans are and how it may affect
them.
That's right. Because they're married now. I'm married.
But here's the thing.
You know what? The thing is, I'm kind of like a little bit sick.
You're not married.
But I'm sick. I'm sick. Of smug marrieds.
Who are these people?
Just in the past couple of days, there have been smug marrieds.
Were they smug assholes before this?
Yeah, they were, but it didn't bother. Okay. Just for some reason, it just is under my skin. Oh, yeah, it's a little team of two. Smug. I'm so happy and blessed.
I think one nice thing about being, we don't do smug, but we use it as an excuse to not do things.
Yeah.
And I think that's legit. Like, so you can say to your family, like, we'd like to come.
But we can.
But we need to spend this time together.
Yeah.
Right.
And nobody can say a word.
No one can say.
And if people have kids,
they
use that as the excuse.
Yep. Sorry, we don't have. Or like, we don't have kids, so that's our excuse.
Yeah.
We'd come, but we don't have children.
Yeah, but God forbid I say, you know what? I need to be alone.
With who? That's what they would say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
What do you mean you need to be alone? Mm-hmm. I think any excuse is a good excuse. Yeah. Although Greg and I are pretty merciless about not spending family. Not doing family stuff.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
We do friend stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we do. That's our family.
Yeah. So you're now telling people, hey, this is what we're doing now. And
side note, though, most married people are boring as shit. But okay, go ahead.
Oh, yeah.
Nobody's clamoring to spend time with married people.
Exactly. So if anyone's inviting you anywhere as a married couple, you better just go.
Yeah.
Guess what?
Yeah.
You know what it gets to when people are married for a very long time, and then it's like, oh my God, you can't invite them anywhere because they're so happy to talk to somebody else. They're just they can't wait to be there. Have you ever had dinner with somebody's parents who've been together for like a million years?
Oh, no. Now I know what you're talking
and then
about.
They're so...
Because I'm thinking about people my age, but people haven't been married for 20 years yet.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah.
So you're talking about, older couples who are like...
Okay. Because have you ever been to a restaurant and you're sitting next to a couple that's like from out of town and they're older?
All the time.
They want to talk to you so badly.
All the time.
So badly.
We get it all the time. As a couple, like an older couple spots us.
It's like,
and it's like, no, we still enjoy talking to each other.
Yeah.
That's why we came to this two-top.
Ready to talk to you.
At the restaurant, yeah.
Anyway, so if you're a young couple and people are actually inviting you places, go.
Maybe go. Unless it's your family and then you could say, we got to be alone.
That's right.
And then don't go.
Okay. Number five, start your own traditions. We had talked to,
yes.
We already got that, the Vegas thing.
All traditions are just made up, people, so yes, feel free to make
do
one
what
up.
It, and do what you like, and then call it a tradition.
Yep.
Number six, don't try to cram too much family into too little time.
Don't try to cram any family into any time. There you go.
Yeah, I've seen some post-Christmas newlyweds look a little like grandma who got run over by a reindeer because everyone wanted to see the newlywed couple on Christmas Day.
Oh, I hadn't even thought about that. See, I'm coming from the negative side of, like, nobody want to see us. But I guess there are some people whose families do want to see us on the holidays.
There are families like this.
And I can't imagine how you get out of that.
Yeah. The poor couple shuttled around from her parents' place to the dad's apartment to the mom and stepfather's house.
That's what I was going to say. What about like these, blended, huge families?
It sounds like, they had to take a tour of divorce.
Yes. That's what I was thinking.
This is the ghost of Christmas future.
Here's your new dad.
The couple spends more time in the car than with people. And when it comes time to leave, they get guilt tripped into how much little time they spent together.
Okay. How much little time? I got some little time for you. Right friggin' here.
Yeah, but you only spent this much little time with us.
I think we're both on the same page with this. Time is the most important thing.
Yeah.
It is the only thing that we don't get any more of and we can actually have some control over. I'm pretty tight with my time.
I am tight too. I've learned
don't waste your time.
Don't waste it.
Yeah.
And you get three shots of lateness.
Three?
Yeah.
You're generous.
No, so if you're
I say your first chance is your second chance.
So if you're very late for some reason, you got to give people the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah.
And then if you realize that they're habitually late, then it's like, forget it.
Because there's all, in being in the New York metropolitan area, we know that when you're not driving, you sometimes don't have control.
Right.
But we have the ability to let people know. Like when we're meeting each other, it's like an hour ahead of time. I get a text from you like, trains ain't working right.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, so now I know.
Right. That's the thing. And also, people are late on occasion and that's all right.
It happens.
But if it's continually chronic lateness,
I don't wait. I have the 15-minute rule. They're like, where were you? I'm like, where were you? I was there.
Well,
I got there 15 minutes late. It's like, no, it was more than that because that's when I left.
Yeah.
Sorry. I went on to the movie. Okay.
Reflect number eight here.
I will not reflect.
Yeah, that's all right. Reflect on your first year and plan for the year ahead.
Oh. Huh? Why did I get to get drunk, have sex, watch some movies, have a good time? Like, this is the holidays.
Eat a snack.
Yeah, eat two snacks. Go crazy.
Spend time looking back on your life together since the wedding.
It just started.
What has surprised you the most?
Know it was going to be this bad.
What has the transition to married life? What has the transition to married life been like?
Same as living in sin life.
Yes. How do you think the rest of your first year will go, and why?
This is good. Is it divorce? Is the next step number nine?
Okay. Remember that the holidays are high holy days. Ha ha ha.
Really?
And they have the nerve. They have the nerve for that to put a picture of Mary and Joseph looking at the baby.
Really?
Like real life actors. I'm like, you're not allowed to do that.
Real life actors?
Yeah.
Okay. Do they look even vaguely Middle Eastern?
Because they're not drawings. They're not a cartoon. They have real people dressed up as Mary and Joseph looking at the baby Jesus.
Okay.
Like, remember, this is you.
So this is the only holiday, I guess, we're addressing on this one.
Mother of God.
Wow. Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. But Mother of God.
Mother of God. So depressing.
Number 10, share your new memory-making traditions with others. No.
No, nobody
I don't,
cares
nobody
what
cares
you
about
do.
Your thing.
You know what you share with others? The booze.
That's it.
That's what you should
bring
share.
A gift.
Yeah. Food. You can share food with people. Nobody must have really care what you did.
You know what's nice, though? They're talk here about uploading pictures and sharing your videos and stuff like that. This is one of the nicer things about social media is that you put it all up there and mm-hmm. you say, go look if you want to.
Yes, I like that.
Instead of people saying, here's my slideshow presentation yeah. of my vacation. Yeah. Or come here and look at my phone. I want to show you. It's like, no, it's all on Facebook. Go look when you're...
Before, because I don't use Facebook, but sometimes I put them together on, like, Picasa or something, and I'll send, like, relatives a link.
Yeah.
And be like, if you want to look at the slideshow, mm-hmm. and I'll put the captions on it, so we don't have to interact with each other.
Right.
I don't care if you look at me snow, you know, boarding or what.
Yeah.
Here it is.
Here it is. Right.
Click, don't click.
Yeah.
You know, happy holidays.
Yeah. So, there you go, newlyweds. Try not to be smug.
So I found something here. I wanted to talk a little bit about Kwanzaa.
Okay.
But I know so little about it, I couldn't even make fun of it. So I went online to find out, like, what are the foods that my people traditionally consume on Kwanzaa? Okay. Only to find out that Almost Homemade with Sandra D. one year created a Kwanzaa cake that is the most disgusting thing I have ever heard of. It's not in any way, it not only does it not reflect African American mm-hmm. culture, it does reflect what should be eaten
by a human.
By anyone yeah. ever. So here's what's on the cake. It is angel food cake, because you know her stuff is almost homemade.
Yes.
It's like, this is all store-bought stuff. Angel food cake covered in chocolate cinnamon frosting, mm-hmm. filled with a canned apple pie filling. You're getting Ooh. The blackness, I can tell. And then garnished, quote-unquote, with pumpkin seeds and corn nuts.
Why?
So the middle of this thing is cut out.
And inside of it is the
canned apple pie.
That's not bad.
With chocolate cinnamon frosting.
No, that's bad.
Pumpkin seeds and corn nuts.
Pumpkin seeds and corn nuts? Where'd they come from? What does that mean?
No idea.
Who does that?
I don't know.
Why?
But not none of these things. Like, if you were to do some kind of a African-American, like, cake.
Yeah.
You might pick things that, like, things that are, like, yams. Like, things that we like.
Yeah.
Or you would just use, like, regular American stuff, whatever.
Stuff that goes together. Not corn nuts.
On top of the cake. So the cake is like the size of a pie, like a 9-inch pie, and it tapers up to the top to maybe 6 or 7 inches. Mm-hmm. And then on top of it, they put a shitload of the candles from the Canara. They're taper candles. Okay, so the cake is tiny. It's like 9 inches in circumference.
Whoa, okay.
And then the top, there's like I think it's 7 candles. I don't even know. 7 candles for Kwanzaa stuck on top, but they're huge. They're massive.
They're
candles.
Massive. And you stick
They're like
those
from a candelabra.
And you shove them all the way through the cake.
You shove them in the cake.
All right.
And then in the center, you have the canned apple pie filling, the pumpkin seeds, you know, traditional African American pumpkin
what?
Seeds,
yeah,
and corn nuts. And that is the Kwanzaa cake. And it was such a, speaking of traditions, it was such a bad, it was such a fail
yeah.
that black people actually started trying to make this fucking thing to see if you could do it. And some people, from what I understand, it's like a joke. It's
you
like the thing
even.
That you make. Do you know what I mean? Like, here's my ridiculous Kwanzaa cake. So okay. I like the idea of coming up with just the most ridiculous Kwanzaa cake you could ever come up with.
And just put in
and
every...
Just put whatever you can think of.
Get some cake, slice it open.
Yeah. Put whatever filling you like.
Slice peaches and black olives.
Can I say pistachio ice cream?
Okay.
And I'm somehow going to make that into like a glaze and put that on top. And then I'm just going to stick in the top a picture of like whoever was this year's NBA top draft. Because I think that's one of the principles of Kwanzaa. I don't know, but it's terrible. And that was her. And like, she's funny. This was not done in any kind of way to like make a dig at anything.
Yeah.
She's just bad. Just doesn't know what to do.
Doesn't know.
The Kwanzaa cake. Like, why would you take it upon yourself?
There's a diagram
yeah,
of this
there's
cake
a diagram of
to
the
go
cake.
With it.
But why would you take it upon yourself to be like, you're not from that culture.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people in that culture are not really sure what's going mm-hmm. on. But you're going to come up with something that's going to be a tradition. And then it sucks. Why didn't you just go out and ask any black person? What would you
just
like
so
on a cake?
Removed.
No one, no human would say that they want these things on a cake.
They're just marketing something.
Yes.
I gotta sell something.
So someone came and they were like, what can you do with corn nuts?
Yeah.
And she thought, Kwanzaa.
I know.
Kwanzaa's coming up. Like corn nuts?
I don't
the
get
cake
that.
Is hilarious. And if you go online, you can see a lot of people who've tried to make these cakes mm-hmm. and they're hilarious. They're really funny. They're just epic fail mm-hmm. holiday cakes. So I think this year for Kwanzaa, I think I'm actually going to try to make the worst cake
okay.
I possibly can.
Can I have a slice?
Sure.
Okay.
You can have a slice of it.
All right.
No problem.
Can't
I will
wait.
Share my culture with you.
Thank you.
Of having a really, really bad Kwanzaa cake.
All right.
A Kwanzaa crumble.
Looking forward to it.
Kwanzaa crumble. All right, what do you have?
I have Tales from the Campfire.
Awesome. So Tales from Der Campfire.
Yes.
Tales from Der Campfire is a segment that we do where we go on the internet and we find stories of fake lore, folklore, urban legends, ghost stories, mythology, things
scary that are paranormal,
scary stuff. And we retell it here around the digital campfire. So in the spirit of Christmas, Kwanzaa and Hanukkah,
right,
and Festivus.
Well, actually, you know, Christmas, they used to tell ghost stories at Christmas. That was a tradition.
That's right.
Remember, that was in one of our holiday episodes. We talked about what?
Gather around.
Oh, yes. Gather around.
People listeners. Are standing around.
Gather.
What can we do?
All right.
Gather.
This one is called A Sad Christmas Eve.
Wah, wah. It starts with a Kwanzaa cake. I just finished cutting the Kwanzaa cake.
It was the first holiday without father. Oh, and we felt
without really... father? Are they German orphans in the 1800s? I'm sorry. That just sounds odd.
And we felt really strange. It was a tossed salad of emotions. That's what sold me on this story. I said, whatever happens next.
Apparently, that invokes in me maniacal laughter. I'm rubbing my hands together. That was so bad. Wow. The festival of nomenclature. Okay.
On one hand, it was for the best. Our parents just didn't get along.
What, he's not dead? Oh, my God.
The fighting was terrible, and we hid in our rooms as we listened to the bickering.
Okay.
Finally, it was over. They sat us down one day and told us they were getting divorced.
And we were like, yes!
We knew it was a good thing, and in a way, I was relieved.
Mm-hmm.
No more listening to the grown-ups acting like children. This is what it felt like. I took care of the younger kids, and I kept them away from the slaps that rang out when Daddy and Mother lost their tempers.
Wow. Daddy and Mother. This sounds creepy.
Yeah. This is a tossed salad of emotions.
Yes.
Anyway.
In the buffet of despair.
Daddy moved on and Mother, well, she did the best she could, I guess.
Wow. She's like, I was doing most of the work.
That first year was really hard, but we tried to find normalcy in every day, playing, going to school, you know, just being kids.
Yeah, doing stuff.
Okay.
Getting on with your life.
The first Christmas was a somber affair, and we had been told in advance that just wasn't enough money for presents that year.
It was a salsa of disappointment. Okay. What? It's a side salad of hope, a modicum of humble pie. What else do we have on the menu?
Was it layer dip?
It was a cheese log. It was a cheese log of confusion. Do you remember cheese logs?
I do.
We used to get my godmother one, and every year she's probably like, you lazy, cheap son of Pepperidge Farm. Okay.
I hoped my daddy didn't have much to do with it, but I suspected he wasn't sending much, if any, child support.
Mm-hmm.
We were barely getting by as it was. I was a sickly kid.
Okay, jeez.
Something was always happening to me, but I understood it all now. As a sensitive with gifts, my body was under tremendous effort. Anyway, okay, so a sensitive soul that could detect spirits, okay? Anyway, not to dwell on that aspect of the story, I want to tell you about...
Dwell on something, because you're all over the place.
I want to tell you
and
about...
And I'm hungry. At this point, what's that salad was served? The tossed salad.
Right, of emotions.
Yeah.
I want to tell you about the first Christmas we lived without father. My brother...
A tiramisu of loneliness. That's for dessert. And assorted sorbets of suspicion and doubt. That's the menu. All right.
All right.
We're not going to make it through. Okay. Yeah, sorry about that. I won't do any more food
jokes.
I got the four R's. Rehearse, record, rinse, or repeat. 209 West 40th Street. Hashtag Bump Life NYC.
My brother was being fitted in costume. He was going to be playing...
What? Okay.
It was going to be playing an angel in the Christmas story. I kept arguing with Mother and telling her the costume wasn't right. Angel wings were bigger, wider, with larger arches, where
really?
It curved downward.
Okay.
I remember my brother saying, how would you know? He laughed.
Yeah. Satan.
I was indignant, but couldn't say anything back. I had seen
because
real...
Because I was inarticulate, right? I was indignant, but I was not quick-witted. or articulate.
I had seen real angels, and I knew that what their wings looked like. Who would believe me anyway? So I stayed silent, fuming at myself. The evening progressed, and my mother was sitting in her chair next to the doorway of the bedroom. We were listening to Christmas music and reading. All of us kids were laying around on the carpet, quiet for once, engrossed in whatever we were doing. I caught a glimpse of something to my right. So I looked up at the movement. In the doorway to our bedroom stood an old man.
Okay.
He had high-waisted pants with suspenders and a black shirt.
A nerd. Really? That's what you need. Pocket protector. He said he knew something about code. All right.
I remember blurting out, "Who is that man?" My mother looked up from her book and said, very matter of fact, "Oh, that's your great-grandfather. That would make him my grandfather. He died before I was born, and he likes to visit during the holidays."
Casual, like.
Yeah.
Oh, him.
I had never seen him around in the past. My brothers and sisters were looking at me and my mother like we just lost our minds. She went on to explain that she had been given just one picture of him, and when he manifested himself, he always appeared in these clothes. "What man?" my brother sputtered. "I don't see anybody," one of my sisters chirped up.
"How many of them are there?" Someone just learned about, like, synonyms.
Like by the time everyone got through commenting on what transpired, the old man was gone.
He just got bored.
Like all of you.
Like, oh, screw this. Why did I come back here? Why am I linked to this boring ass place? Why wasn't I linked to the Tiki Hut where they have those strippers from Cuba?
He didn't say a thing. He had never lived in this old house, and he died in another country.
It was Cuba.
Just got there by accident,
yeah.
Right?
So this is great.
It was the first and only time my mother wanted to discuss the ghost of her grandfather, and she didn't say much. As soon as he was gone, she acted like it never happened. After this, we never discussed the paranormal again. Over the years, I think she liked to think of this as her own little secret. I can't explain it here, but she was a bit narcissistic.
Wow, that's the real story. That's just, I love these tales because the real story is hidden in them. That's what it's called, the narcissistic mother.
Yeah.
That's the horror story.
Yeah, and she just was like, and she didn't want to talk about it because she now knew that the son could see, and she wasn't special.
I wasn't going to share that with anybody.
And she wasn't going to like be like, oh, you know, this is what we can do. No, it's what she could do.
They're going to be like, well, the son's going to ask, like, well, what happened? He's like, I don't know. What did happen?
Yeah.
I like that one.
Yeah, there we go. A sad Christmas Eve.
So I did a little digging around about Festivus for the rest of us.
Okay.
And everybody knows it from, for the most part, from Seinfeld, from the Seinfeld episode. But it actually has a longer history than that. The writer who contributed to the episode got that information from his father, who kind of invented it. So here's the information about that. It says, it starts, the Roman comic poet Plautus, you know him, from the 3rd century BCE.
From the ha ha ha.
Down by the Colosseum. Originally used the term Festivus to refer to wild celebrations attended by average citizens, cutting loose on religious holidays.
Woo-hoo.
So the plebs. Festivus is now a recently invented secular celebration for the entire family. It's held on the 23rd. And it was apparently created in 1966 by Daniel O'Keefe of Chappaqua, New York. He was a former writer for Reader's Digest and says the idea just popped into his head. And it, before he and his wife had children, it was originally a celebration of the first date he had with his wife, Deborah. That's Festivus.
Really?
That's kinda, I like that. That's kind of cool. Uh-huh. And then he developed it further during the 70s when he was researching a book called Stolen Lightning. And this is interesting. You might find this interesting.
I'll let you know in a minute.
The New York Times described it as a work of sociology that explores the way people have used cults, astrology, and the paranormal as a defense against social pressure.
Huh.
See?
I'd like that. You're right.
It is interesting.
So as a defense against social pressure.
Yeah.
So like
coming up. So it's like they're inventing these things that we have to do. Mm-hmm. Why don't we come up with our own kind of, you know, methods. According to his son, Daniel, who was a writer on the comedy show Seinfeld, the 1966 version of Festivus, so we're giving you original Festivus, OG, a wrestling match among the children in the family, audio recording of grievances. This is where each person presents complaints to friends and family about the ways in which they have disappointed him or her in the previous year.
Love that.
Can you imagine showing with a cassette tape back in the day, like, play this? A clock in a bag, but the significance of this item has been lost to history. I don't know what the clock is in the bag. And then every year there's supposed to be a theme. One year it was, is there a light at the end of the tunnel? Another okay. year it was, are you too easily made glad? And the proper greeting for the day is, indeed, Happy Festivus.
Okay, well, what about the clock in the bag? What do you think it means?
I think the clock in the bag has, I mean, if you smash it, it's really about, you know, having a negative relationship with time.
Okay.
What do you think a clock in the bag means?
Well, then you're cloaking the face
okay.
of time.
I like it, like Father Time kind of thing.
So you're saying something, you're making a statement about time not being relevant.
I like that. So you kind of put time away.
Yeah.
For that.
It's time to stop.
Period.
This.
Well, you can't say time, though, I guess, if you put it in the bag.
Right.
It's time. Yeah, it's time to put a stop to this.
So, listeners, if you have any ideas of what a clock in a bag would be for Festivus, send us an email.
Please.
At heyyouknowit@gmail.com.
Yeah, and we'll read it on the air, and we'll thank you for it.
Yeah. Please don't be shy. We want to know.
Yeah, I want to know what people think of, like, you know, if I could save time in a bag.
Yeah.
So the evolution of Festivus. So after the Seinfeld episode, Festivus takes on a life of its own. In 2000, Ben and Jerry's, they create a Festivus flavor. I don't remember that.
Oh, or maybe it means if you put a clock in a bag and you hand it to somebody, that means, like, you could call on me for a favor and I'll give you some of my time.
And during Festivus?
Well, like,
it's probably like, here's all the time I'm going to give you.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I think that's a better way. This is
20,
it.
What, yeah. 20 minutes.
I'm just going to put like a, you know, a stopwatch in there and be like, this is it.
Yeah.
There, people were selling Festivus t-shirts. There was a Festivy forum online. And then 2006, there was a mini Seinfeld marathon. And then, the Boston Globe commented that Festivus celebrants can go online and purchase specialty items like wine, Great Branch Festivus wine made in Oklahoma. I didn't know they made wine.
Wow.
Greeting cards, and then the aluminum pole, which I see
yes.
that you can buy the Festivus pole to display in your home. And they theorize why is Festivus catching on. I think it's because people just want something to do that's not commercial or religious.
Yes. Oh, for sure.
You know, this is not even technically this is a family and friends, so it's anyone who you don't despise mm-hmm. can come together to do something. Mm-hmm. Professor Anthony Avani of Colgate University said, Festivus is infused with a lot of potential meaning and that it has the ability to become a permanent part of the holiday, American holiday firmament. He notes that Halloween was once obscure mm-hmm. and that Kwanzaa was invented in the 60s by an academic. It still is not catching on.
Yeah. Much work, I think.
Well, nobody... Well, the problem for Kwanzaa is it's so earnest. Mm-hmm. Like, it's really about, like, one day it's, like, family, about unity. Ain't nobody, you know... I mean, at this time of year...
Yeah, because now you have to examine all of that
yes,
in your now, life.
Yes, you have to stop and think about what's important to you and your culture. And people don't want to do that. They want to get drunk. They want to mm-hmm. go to a club.
It should be a celebration.
It's
yeah.
the end of the year.
Yeah.
It says, Festivus may be gaining acceptance as one, because one out of four Americans do not identify as Christian, Jewish, or Wicca.
Hmm.
I'm going through Wicca in there. I only know very few people who are Wicca.
Yeah.
To them, Christmas, Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, and Yule, that's the Wicca one, do not have a lot of significance. And a lot of people are not African American. And mm-hmm. so Kwanzaa doesn't really resonate with them.
It sounds like a thing that you would want to do maybe in the new year, to start off the new year, right?
Yeah. No, Kwanzaa?
Yeah.
Yeah. It is. I think it's difficult. I mean, it starts the day after Christmas, but I think it should be at a different time of the year when you really, maybe in the fall, when you want to examine
or
those fresh
start,
kind of things.
Or in spring, when you want to make a new start.
Yeah, like a solstice thing. Yeah. You want to start over.
Yeah.
It says Festivus might appeal to those who are not affiliated with a religion or who are members of a faith group that don't have a celebration in late December. So if you're Hindu mm-hmm. or you're Buddhist and you still want to somehow celebrate something,
yeah,
a Festivus pole.
Sure.
Others, they say that it's simply because it's a family celebration, but it's not family and friends, but it's not commercial. And then some people say it's behind the popularity is the absence of presence, an accent on idiocy, and a refreshing lack of familial psychodrama. There's no, you know, Festivus has its own rituals, but none of them involve theology, batteries, reindeer,
yeah, right.
family, and this kind of thing. So that's the true story of
that's
Festivus.
That's so great.
It was a guy who had his first date with his wife and wanted to celebrate that originally.
Wow.
That's kind of cool.
I like that
a
lot.
Yeah, I like it too. All right, what do you have?
You're listening to Hey, You Know It with Jaquetta Sotmari and
Katie Kazmir.
We're telling you how it is and how it should be.
Tonight, Well, you know, we couldn't survive the holidays without some survival tips.
Okay, survival tips.
These are three ways to emotionally survive visits with family during the holidays.
Oh, I have some of those too. I wonder if they cross-reference.
Okay. So, they have a picture of a woman sitting on a rock in the middle of the snow in the forest or something. She's like,
alone?
Got her head in her hands.
The thinker.
Yeah. So, this article starts out, it always ends horribly, my client tells me, as she recalls previous family holidays.
Yeah, that's the same article I have. Awesome. You
okay.
Chime in on this
okay,
one.
Yeah, yeah. 20 plus years of therapy and self-improvement.
Out the window.
Up in smoke, yep. Right? In less than 20 minutes. Every year I promise myself that next year I won't go, but I always let myself get guilted into it again.
Why do people go? I always, and I will always do this, I always support my friends on not going. Mm-hmm. I am always a good place to go. Mm-hmm. If you don't want to do the holidays.
Right.
Because I see how stressed out people get.
It's
and
really
I'm like,
hard.
Why are you going to go spend time with these people? And you come back, you're a drunk mess.
Yeah, the thing is, when you go back to your family, you revert back into the roles you were when you last lived together.
Yes.
As family. So if you moved out of the house at 15 or 21 or 30 or whatever, you go back to that
exactly.
time. And they're expecting you to fulfill those roles.
I do that.
Again.
I go home, I argue with my mom, and then I go in my room and read books.
Yeah.
that's exactly what I did the last time I lived at home, which was at like 14. Argue with mom a little bit, go read some books.
Right. So many of us dread the holidays for these reasons.
Now
and
I drink. I wasn't doing that then.
So at a wellness, people will spend money throughout the year trying to improve themselves. Mm-hmm. And so they get, they often, around the holidays, they book double sessions of body work, of acupuncture, coaching, hypnotherapy, just to survive going to the family.
I think that's fascinating. I wasn't aware of that, but now that I think about it, because I get regular massage, mm-hmm. this is the time of the year when I have to start really making my appointments. Because mm-hmm. usually I go to a place where you can just go, you know, if I go in the middle of the day, I can just go in.
Yeah.
And there's a couple of therapists there that I work with. But at this time of year, you got to schedule
right.
it. Yeah, you know, because people need that shit.
So you have to make really healthy choices this time of year.
And some of those choices mean staying away from people.
Right. So this person is telling her clients to keep it simple. Small changes can lead to big positive shifts. So, you know, you have to prepare and get your body ready so you can physically take it.
You got to take the mental blows.
Because the emotions affect your physical body. And so all this work that you do to get yourself ready, you have to also start becoming emotionally and mentally strong.
It's so... I always tell people just stay away from people who are toxic to you. But how do they... They keep going back. Like, doesn't the family have to say, like, this is awful?
Mm-hmm.
Who was enjoying this?
Yeah.
Let's just stop doing this.
Yeah. It's like we're one family.
No.
You know.
Well, you are, but I mean, it's a nightmare.
Yeah,
if you're sending people into therapy and acupuncture and they're doubling up on the foot massages, something's wrong. This is why people drink so much at the holidays.
Yeah.
You know, they got to keep their spirits up one way or the other.
Right. So the three things you could do is first, manage your visit. You take control of your visit from the very beginning. Time with family has an expiration date, anything from an hour to a couple of days.
I like that. I got 20 minutes. Make it fast. Air those grievances.
Here's my clock in a bag.
Yeah.
Pull it out and see the time on the clock. This is what you get with me.
Drunk uncle, go. You got 5 minutes.
Decide beforehand how long you will be staying and clearly communicate your plans to the family you will be visiting. If you are traveling to be with family, repeat after me. It is worth having money to stay at a hotel or motel.
Yes.
And even get your own car.
Yes. Do not, I mean, you remember what those people were like. You grew up with them.
Yeah.
Be prepared to leave and go sleep somewhere else.
Yeah. Do not depend on anybody for a ride.
Yes. There's a reason why hotel rooms are up during the holiday season. People need them. Doesn't matter what the cost is.
It is. It is that emotional baggage that you have with your family. Even if you don't see them very often,
nope.
It's like you go just flame up.
Find a place to stay.
Yeah. A friend of mine enjoyed reconnecting with her family, but found she had nowhere to escape when she stayed with her parents, and they used their alone time to gang up on her about her life choices.
Wow. Oof. Like as a team? Did they go into formation?
Right. Well, that's what happens.
Flank her.
Especially when you get like a married couple.
Why do they come at you?
Anyway, last year she let her parents know she will be staying at a hotel and would be getting her own car. It was great. For the first time I have gone home and felt like an adult. Changed the whole feel of the thing.
The script has been flipped, as they say.
Yeah. So if you happen to be the one hosting your family, set clear boundaries around when they're welcome, how long they are welcome.
Mm-hmm. Don't let them in your house.
What they
it's like a vampire. Seriously, if you invite those people in and they suck your blood, mm-hmm. that is on you.
Right.
Put their asses in a hotel.
When you tell them how long they're welcome, what they need to bring.
And where the next La Quinta Inn is.
And how they can help out. Sure. I mean, this is just coming over for the event, not just staying with you.
Oh, I still get a hotel room for the event?
Yeah.
I don't care. It's like when people ask me, where do you live? I said, New York.
I booked a conference room.
Yes.
Everyone sit around the table. Everything's going to be in the middle.
I booked a conference room. Look, we got to be in there by 4, out by 6.
Right. It's a slideshow presentation. Yes. It's just going to be a bunch of Christmas trees.
Yes.
And then Yule logs.
I'm going to, you know, there's going to be some food. I'm just going to waft the smell of the food in. Enjoy that. But we got to be out by 6 because the McCormicks are coming in.
Right. This is telling everybody, come at 1, leave at 4, bring up some bread. Yeah. I don't know.
Bring some bread? Bring comfortable clothing. Be ready to move. Okay.
Okay. And,
come warmed up.
Yeah, set clear expectations from the very beginning. No one will get hurt. That's if they're listening to you.
Yeah.
But this is family we're talking
yeah.
about.
So they're not going to listen. You can okay. do whatever you want.
Hi.
Yeah. It's all right if we stay here. I mean, I know you booked a room at La Quinta Inn.
I brought my own sleeping bag. Can I sleep on the floor in your room?
No, at La Quinta Inn, they have sleeping bags for you.
Go sleeping on over bag. There.
I just feel like if you have to do this much, like, prep, fuck it.
Yeah.
Forget it. It's, you know what I mean? And when I have people over to my house, I'm excited. You have guests coming. You spend a couple of days getting your place freshened up. Mm-hmm. You get flowers. You're excited. If you have to start setting ground rules with people, if I'm mm-hmm. like, Katie, we're watching one movie. It's going to be 90 minutes. It's going to be a comedy.
I expect you.
Yes.
To bring a dish.
Keep the laughs at a minimum. Bring your own one. I need you out of there before the credits roll.
And shoes off when you come in. Shoes on when you leave.
Yes. That's it. Keep it real. I have other friends coming in right after you. We're going to watch actually a romantic comedy.
Yeah.
So I need you to be out of here.
Okay. So there, number 2, break free of roles.
Right.
Getting together with family can feel like...
Because that's going to happen during the holidays. It hasn't happened ever in your family, in the history of your family, but it's going to happen today.
Yeah. Guess what?
Because you're prepared.
So when you get together with family, it can feel like picking up in the middle of a very old, very tired story mm-hmm. in which everyone knows their parts, but nobody really likes playing them anymore.
Yeah, it's like when you leave a meeting and they hold it for you and you come back and you're like, really?
Oh,
here we are.
I thought I'd missed the part about the binders.
Yes. Katie's back. We can start. Go.
Decide to switch up the script. The easiest way to do this is changing your perspective. See and interact with the players as individuals instead of the characters.
It's like an improv scene.
Yeah. So in other words, see, rather than mom or dad or black sheep, a good kid, think of them as Sally, Bob, Jane, and Dave.
Huh? I'm going to think of the people in my family as Sally, Bob,
Jane or Dave.
They're white people from the 50s. I like this family. They seem all right. They probably drank. You know, fine.
Wow. So often the problems in families stem from our not being acknowledged or respected.
Mm. And sometimes they're a dick.
For the individuals they've become. I've grown into my dickiness.
You've grown into a major asshole from a minor asshole.
Yeah.
And I'm going to acknowledge that.
Yeah, so many more resources to be.
Because everyone turns out to be, you know, great.
If we want to be seen as a person instead of some label we outgrew ages ago, then we need to lead by example and start extending the same courtesy to our family.
No, I like my label. My label is I show up whenever I want to, I get drunk, I say a few things, and I'm out. That's my label. I'm the random one with the tattoos who comes in the rental car.
Oh, man. One of my clients returned from holiday family visit last year, exuberant, saying, suddenly I was able to see my mom as a person who lived a very lonely and fear-based life.
That's not going to happen.
I could see past her critical words to the person underneath and realize...
She was laughing at her the whole time.
She doesn't know how to love herself, let alone someone else.
You say, your mom, your problem is you don't hate me, you hate you. I wish I had known that when I was growing up.
Yeah, instead of getting angry, she found compassion for her mom, which is a big step toward in healing their relationship.
Mm-hmm. I bet the mom really appreciated that. Not at all.
Speaking of appreciation, this is number 3.
Okay.
Practice appreciation.
Oh, no. Next thing they tell me to be mindful and then I have to go.
Yeah.
It's the holidays.
It's all too easy to let ourselves get focused on all the things that aren't going right.
Mm-hmm.
I prefer to
focus on those things. The things that are going right don't need my attention.
Right,
they're rolling
right.
on their own.
You got to fix all these things.
You got to fix
right?
that stuff.
And to the ways that our relationships are not what they want them to be.
Mm-hmm.
This attention to the negative can only create more negativity and bad feelings.
But she hasn't said anything positive yet.
Remember, whatever we...
With the good stuff.
Whatever we look to find, we find, and we'll look for more of it.
Mm-hmm. Right. Seek and you shall.
Yeah.
Type of situation. So
whatever you focus on, you're going to see.
Okay.
And then whatever you focus on, you're going to draw into your life.
I don't know the laws of attraction BS.
Yes.
Put a C on your vision board. That kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Look at your family through the eyes of appreciation.
They're prehistoric predators, what I heard. That's where I am. I'm sorry. Let me focus. Look, what eyes am I looking through now? It's not Allosaurus or T-Rex.
No.
Okay.
It's eyes of appreciation. Okay. What characteristics? What
the eyes of Laura Mars. Yes?
What characteristics do they have that you admire?
Their condo.
What might you miss about them if they were no longer living?
The condo.
What are you grateful for about your family?
Getting a condo. This is great. No, see, if you just look at people in your family about what you're going to get.
See how easy this is?
Yeah.
Appreciate them.
We're making it work.
But this is by no means easy in the beginning.
Huh? Oh, sorry.
But
I skipped to the end.
There's one thing to appreciate about anyone or any situation.
It's that 3-bedroom condo. That I'm going to get.
But also, you could take it a step further and share what you discover with your family members.
It's just the condo I'm interested in.
There's nothing nicer than having someone tell you what they like about you.
I think that would freak people in a family out. If you just calmly went up to like a cousin and was like, you know what, Abigail? You know what I always liked about you?
Your patience.
Your patience. And your kindness. And then you keep an eye on them the whole time.
Just him. Or look at them the way David Blaine looks at people after a magic trick.
Yes.
Oh my God.
He's the worst.
Yeah. David Blaine, the magician, when he does his street magic, he'll do a trick. And then he'll stare at you and look at you like you were, like he's never seen you before.
What is he hoping for?
I don't know.
I mean, like, brother, you better back up off me. Take your cards and roll.
But I do recommend everybody now to compliment a family member and then look at them like David Blaine looks at people.
Oh, I like that.
Okay.
Let that drunk have it. I like the way you hold your liquor. And you just keep it there.
She's looking at me now.
Yes.
Making me uncomfortable.
See how people back away.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. So one client said, it wasn't easy, but I found a couple of things.
I had to think real hard about my brother.
It became easier to focus on them instead of other stuff.
I like how you no longer spit indoors. That's a positive thing. Wow. No, I like that.
That's what I said.
Yeah, I saw that article too, and I was like, not bad. So, I just want to get back to the war on Christmas.
Oh, gosh, of course.
Apparently, this war has been going on since Fox News said it's been going on. But actually, I found this is interesting. In the bastion of, civilization, Staten Island, yes. It says, mall boycott proposed as Christmas tree put out in the cold.
What?
Staten Island's largest mall has pulled the plug on a wildly popular Santa Claus event and even moved its Christmas tree outside, enraging shoppers who are now calling for a boycott. Protesters set up this is how you know it's for real, boycott Staten Island Mall this Christmas season Facebook page.
Oh, no.
I bet you people were in the mall joining it. Fine.
Yeah.
After the center yanked its annual Santa parade. And the Facebook page picked up more than 15,000 supporters in less than a day. So people are upset because they're saying there's double standards on race and religion. What's so offensive? What the hell is so offensive about this? Another person writes, it's being interpreted that the mall doesn't want to offend non-Christians. The latest effort to block Christmas is nothing more than political BS. What these people can't seem to understand is that they're on the other side of the demographics.
Mm-hmm.
Malls don't do anything without thinking about the bottom line.
Yeah.
So wherever this mall is in Staten Island, maybe this holiday isn't as important as it used to be.
Yeah.
Or maybe they've just decided for some reason to put the fucking tree outside. Mm-hmm. It said the mall had already moved the Christmas tree outside last year, so now it's a tradition.
Yeah.
And Santa has been relegated to a low traffic corner by JCPenney.
Oh.
JCPenney probably asked Santa to be over there so people would come into the store.
That's right.
They see it as a slight by putting Santa by a JCPenney.
I think, the Christmas that... With Jesus and Mary and Joseph, that's a religious one.
It's a religious thing.
The one with Santa Claus is not religious. No. It's just like, it's a spirit of giving.
But they're saying they're upset because they moved this pagan Christmas tree outside. It's not like...
Okay, so the pagans.
But it's not like... Yeah, so the Wicca, right?
The Wicca are like...
But it's not like they took the creche
and
put it by the gas station in the parking lot. Like, that's not what happened. It's not like they took a religious symbol and, like, just trashed it. You know, they didn't put a frog to it or whatever.
Or, you know what the thing is, you know, the thing with the Starbucks cups?
You know, I didn't understand that. So I looked at the Starbucks cup. It's a red cup. What's the problem?
Well, apparently in years past, Starbucks have had different images of, like, Christmassy themes, such as like reindeer or a Christmas ornament.
Was Jesus on there? No, Jesus, no Jesus Mary, no nativity, no three wise men. I'd like to see three wise men instead of frankincense and myrrh. They could have like a light roast. Do you know what I mean? Like,
right. They're traveling across the desert. Yeah. And they need that coffee.
And they're trying to get to a Starbucks.
Yes.
They're driving for the, you know. It's a shining Starbucks in the East.
And in the case, instead of muffins, it's baby Jesus.
Baby Jesus. Hello. I mean, it's not like they're doing anything.
They appreciated it.
And so were people really upset?
They were upset because they did away with the ornaments, the reindeer, and the snowflakes on the cups. And one woman said snowflakes were a religious symbol because they symbolized hope of Jesus coming. And I was like, no.
That was definitely in the Bible, snowflakes in the Middle East.
Yeah.
That was definitely a part of it. What?
Snow happens in the winter. It's not a religious
phenomenon. Yeah, it's not a religious phenomenon.
Yeah.
So, I'm confused.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, so yeah, anyway, I don't want to give any more time to because it was just...
I
was hung up on the snowflake being being religious.
Well, this is the thing, too. They're saying, you know, the war... It's a war on Christmas. And actually, this is not a war on Christmas. This is a war on, like, a commercialization of Christmas.
Yes.
And I think they were just trying to hook a JCPenney up.
Yeah.
With putting Santa over there. So... It says, we heard the disappointment, the mall says, we heard the disappointment in your shopper feedback regarding the cancellation of the annual Santa parade. Accordingly, the Staten Island Mall will host a celebration for the community complete with Santa, tree lighting, toy, etc. They said etc.
Oh.
Whatever y'all want.
What?
Whatever you want out there.
Various.
Various. Misc. We will host the annual Santa parade next year.
Oh, God.
The post was then told that they didn't have a Santa parade this year at the mall because Santa was already there.
Oh.
So the Santa parade is when Santa first shows up. What are they going to do? Take him away from JCPenney and
make
him
march around.
Have him go out the back, turn around.
Get out of your chair.
And come back in.
Bizarre. I just settled into my seat.
I really think that, like, I don't know where this is in Staten Island. First of all, Staten Island is not exactly known as America's melting pot. But apparently there's enough people there that don't give a shit about where the Christmas tree is. What we're saying is that it's okay for the mall.
You know what? It is chock-a-block filled with firefighters, Staten Island.
And cops.
They should have...
Maybe it's a fire hazard.
They should have a Christmas parade of firefighters, right?
I like where this is going.
Shirtless, but with just the pants and the suspenders.
And the hat. I like it.
And then they should have... That's what they should do.
Yeah. That, I mean, and that's extremely religious.
Mm-hmm. So we're supporting...
Firefighters.
Yeah.
Who doesn't like firefighters?
At Christmas.
I think that could be the way to go. Yeah. I like... You know what? Maybe for ladies and gay gentlemen's festivus, we should include the airing of the firefighter.
Yeah. Firefighters on parade.
Yeah, maybe a firefighter has to deliver quote-unquote presents to the home.
That's right.
You know?
And you can't... And nobody can refuse that.
Yeah, no one would stop a firefighter.
They transcend religion.
Yeah, transcend religion. It's all over the place.
I just want to shout out quick to Quick Brown Fox Letterpress.
Yes. A friend of the show.
Yay. A friend of the show makes cards on her own letterpress. And I just want to say thank you for the beautiful cards that she made me this year that I have sent out.
Yeah. If you saw her image in an earlier podcast, I believe. That is the cover of the Krampus episode.
Yeah. So go to Etsy or you can look up a Quick Brown Fox Letterpress and you will see these wonderful cards and... Thank you very much.
Yeah, and good luck to everybody out there. Happy Kwanzaa, happy Hanukkah, happy Festivus, happy Yule, happy whatever it is that you're doing. And good luck. Stay boozy.
Yes, stay boozy, people. Lies a mantle of
white. Thank you for listening to Hey You Know It. Stay in touch with us during the week. Follow us on Twitter. Follow us on Tumblr. Go to iTunes and leave us a 5-star review. We'll read it on an upcoming show, regardless of content.
As always, we love your emails. Send us an email at heyyouknowit@gmail.com with your comments, questions, and segment ideas. Emails will also be read on upcoming shows.
Please tell your friends about us, because you know we don't advertise, and let them know we can be found on iTunes, at Stitcher.com, and at heyyouknowit.com. Thanks. Sleigh bells ring. Oh, speaking of, I just want to throw this in, hashtag penis news. There's a woman who is out there on Etsy, out of clay, she makes these little cute penis ornaments you can hang in your tree. There's a penis a-caroling.
Okay.
There's a penis under the mistletoe, which is, that's...
Just all kinds of wrong.
Just all kinds of wrong. And then there's a penis with a Santa hat on it.
Aww.
They are $12 on Etsy. You can go to Eclectic Inspirations, American-made, American-approved.
Nice.
For the holidays.